Thank you everyone for coming. We want to talk about the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem and specifically how it applies to Avraham Avinu. And the problem that I'm going to present is what I call a contradiction between the two parts of Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh really breaks down into two different parts. There's what we call halakha, and then there's what we call agada. There's the legal part of halakha, and there's the agadic part, or the philosophical part. And occasionally, you grasp onto some sort of a conflict between the two parts of the Torah. And I think this is a perfect example of what we're going to see here. Ultimately, our goal will be to try to reconcile that conflict. I'm not promising you, you know, we'll be able to do that. So, let's talk about the 10 trials or the nisyonot of Avraham Avinu. Let's specifically hone in on the first of the 10. And that's the story of the Kivshan Ha'ish. There are various versions in Chazal about this story, but they all lead up really to the same punchline. And that is that it's, you know, Nimrod says it's either your life or you're going to worship Avodah Zarah. Those are your two choices. And Avraham indeed is ready, he's prepared to give up his life. At the end, Hashem saves him miraculously from certain deaths. In Chazal, from a Hashkafic point of view, this episode is extremely powerful, fundamental. The Chazal will see Avraham Avinu as the paradigm of what we call Mesirat Nefesh, of the willingness to sacrifice himself for his faith, for his belief in God. Not only that, he will become not just the paradigm for the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, but on top of that, this will be forever embedded in our tefillot three times a day. The choice of Avraham Avinu as the father of our nation, and I will show it to you in one statement in Chazal after the other, is based on the experience of Avraham Avinu at the Kivshan Ha'ish. That's all on a philosophical level, on Ashkafic level. But then we get to a halachic level. And we ask ourselves the question, halachically, did Avram do what he was supposed to do? And here we get into deep, deep trouble. And believe it or not, it's not clear at all, that Chazal, according to the halachot of Kiddush Hashem, would justify what Avram was willing to do. Again, he was saved miraculously at the last minute, but what he was willing to do at the time of this great episode. So do you understand the conflict here? You know, as our perspective changes depending upon what hat we're wearing. If we're wearing our Hashkafic hat, then the answer is yes. This is incredible. There's no one like him. He takes the day. He's the paradigm of Kiddush Hashem. If we're going to ask ourselves from a different thinking cap, from a perspective halakha, we got a real challenge.
Can you understand with regards to Avram's Kiddush Hashem before Matan Torah to after Matan Torah?
Yeah, we're going to definitely get into that. I mean, that the whole issue halachically, the pivotal point around which everything revolves, is what's the status of Avraham Avinu before Matan Torah, before the Torah is given. If this question would have been asked historically after Matan Torah, then hands down, this would be a classical case of Kiddush Hashem. But dafka, because we're talking before Matan Torah, and therefore the question of what the status of Avram is before Matan Torah, that's what's going to play in. No, okay, then?
But what's the issue?
So let's get into it. Let's begin with the Rambam as far as Kiddush Hashem. Does anyone know, without looking at the page, or if you've already looked, where do I look in the 14 books of the Rambam to find the laws of Kiddush Hashem? Hilchos Yesod HaTorah. That's the kickoff of the Rambam's Mishneh Torah. And he says the following, Perek Hei mi Hilchos Yesod HaTorah, Halacha Aleph. Kol Beis Yisrael, Mitzuvim, Al Kiddush Hashem HaGadol Hazeh. Please underline the word Yisrael. We're going to come back to that word later. But what impression do you already get right up front? You have to be Jewish to be obligated in the midst of Kiddush Hashem. Okay, I don't want to give the whole thing away, but begin, you know, get your thinking caps on and begin to guess what's coming around the bend. Shenema v'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. So clearly, this pasuk is referring to B'nai Yisrael. In fact, the word toch, we'll see later in the Gemara Megillah, is going to be the basis for the concept of a minyan, of what's called farhesia. 10 people. That's a public act. Umusarim shalol chalolo. And the flip side, the negative side of the positive command of Kiddush Hashem is Chil Hashem. Shenemar v'lotuchalu etshem kodshi keitzad. Now, between the keitzad and halacha beis, which I left out deliberately because it'll get us derailed, the Rambam speaks about the cases where you don't have to give up your life on Kiddush Hashem. And the answer to the word keitzad, meaning under what circumstances is one obligated to give up his life on Kiddush Hashem, really comes in halacha beis. So what I cut out here is an entire chunk of the Rambam, a very long, complicated discussion in the Rambam about situations in which you're exempt from the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. Meaning that if somebody forces you to violate a certain avera, you will violate it rather than give up your life. Bamedvar Mamurim, when does the halacha apply of Yavar the Alye Hareg? That you should not give up your life? Bamedvar Mamurim Bishar Mitzvos. In all the mitzvos chutz from the big three, me'avodos kochavim, gilui arayos u'shvichas tamei. So therefore, we have three exceptions to the rule of v'chai bohem, that you must live by them rather than die by them. In three cases, the Rambam establishes that you have to die rather than violate these averos. Aval sholosh averos elu im yomer lo avar al achas meno tehoreg yarog or yehoreg v'al yavar.
Is there a source for this, or is it like...
Sure, I mean, Shania? No, this is all... Oh, I don't know what you mean by sources.
Like
in other words, yeah. But again, the sources won't be clear to you. For example, the source for Avodas Kochavim is via Haftas Hashem Elokecha. But you'd have to really be oriented in the Sugyan Sanhedrin in Torah Shebaal Peh to understand that B'chol Nafshecha means Afilu Hu Notolas Nafshecha. You could read the Pasuk 1,000 times and not be sensitive to the way... You know, when Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah, he also received the Torah Shebaal Peh, the way the Torah Shebaal Peh accompanies the Torah Shebaal Peh and elucidates it. Or, for example, in the case of Arayos, it really gets complicated. It's a hekesh to Ritzicha, but in Ritzicha, the Torah never explicitly says that you have to give it your life rather than kill somebody. And the answer to that is the Svar of my chazis. And then you have a hekesh gilui arayos to Avodah Zarah. So if you'd like, we could talk about that later. I just wanted to set the backdrop here for the fact that for the sake of Avodah Kochavim, a person would have to give up his life. So on a halakhic level, you would give up your life rather than violate the prohibition of Avodah Zarah. Good? But again, keep in mind, it's called Beis Yisrael. Now, let's just see on a hashkafic level, we're sort of shifting our direction. We're going to put on a different thinking cap, and we're going to try to think in Chazal, you know, through Chazal's mind about how significant this one episode is. The episode of Kivshan Aish. Of course, we all know Rashi at the end of Parshas Noach on the Pasuk Bayomas Haran al Pnei Terech Aviv. Haran dies, as it were, in the face of his father, maybe even falling into his father's arms. And where did this happen? Biur Kaznin, which literally means the flames of Kaznin. So Haran dies. That's explicit in the Torah. That's Torah Shebaksav. But what's in Torah Shebaal Peh? So Rashi tells the whole story based on the Medrash that Al Yidei Aviv Mes, that Haran died as a result of Terach's actions. Shekibel Terach Al Avram Bino Lefnei Nimrod. Terach registered a complaint against his son, his own son, Abraham, in the state in front of this king, namely Nimrod, al shekites es Salmov. You remember that the Tzlamim, the Tzelem, these idols, these images of you know, Terach was a professional idol seller. You know, that's how he, that was his merchandise. And he had some big idols and some little idols. Avram claimed that the big idol killed the, you know, smashed the little idols. That's according to one version in the Medrash. There are different, you know, they were fighting over a carbon. Different versions of exactly went on over there. But at the end of the day, Avram Avinu destroys his father's idols. That itself, by the way, requires a lot of halachic analysis, because I'm not sure that a Ben Noach, a non-Jew, is allowed to damage another Ben Noach. I'm not sure if it comes under Gzeilu, which is one of the seven Noahide laws. So the question here is, what halacha would permit Avram Avinu, assuming Avram Avinu observed the Torah, as we'll soon see, before it was given? Well, there's the mitzvah of Ibud Avodah Zarah. The only thing is, it doesn't apply to an Akum, as far as I know.
No?
I don't think so. But that needs to be taken under advisement. We're going to leave that for now. That's another hour's discussion, but not for tonight. Alright then? Vishlicho l'kivshan eish. Haran Yosef Yom Belibo Avram Notzeach Ani Mishalom Nimrod Notzeach Ani Mishalom Kshin Mitzal Avram Amar Lo Haran Mishal Biata. So Nimrod turns to Haran and says, well, whose side are you on? Amar Lo Haran Mishal Avram Ani Yishlichu L'Kivshan Eish V'Misraf. And here too there are many different versions. According to some versions, you'll take a look at Targum Yonason and other Midrash Chazal, Haran actually came out of the burning fires, and he fell into his father's arms, and he died in his father's arms. According to that version, the flames were swallowed by Haran internally, and they burnt up his innards. But on the outside, he was unscathed, and he actually walked out of this tremendously intense fire, meaning that Haran also experienced the miracle. Because at least on the outside, it looked like he was on Avram's side. In the inside, he really didn't believe. In any event, Zohar Kazdin, that's the story of Ur Kazdin. Now, there are thousands of midrashim about Ur Kazdin that wave the banner of Avram's greatness. I'm going to choose just one out of the many. In order to appreciate the Tanchuma at the beginning of Lech Lecha, we should first read the Psukim in Shir HaShirim in the 8th Perek. Achos lanu ktana v'shadayim ein la. Ma na'aseh l'achosenu b'yom shiyedubar ba. Im chomahi nivne oleh tiras kosef. V'im delasi natsur oleh Luach Eretz. Ani choma v'shadai kimigdalos, oz ha'isig beinav kimotzeis shalom. On a simple level, you can probably get by the pshat in these psukim with a great deal of difficulty, but we really need Torah Shebaal Peh for this. Because every single part of this series of three psukim is going to be dissected, is going to be taken, and all three psukim, according to Rabbi Brechia and the Tanchuma, all of them refer to one particular episode. And because of the context of tonight's lecture, I'm sure you could figure out in what episode we're talking about, namely Kivshan Ha'esh. Rabbi Brechia Kohen Pasach, he started with the Pasach Achos Lanu Ktana. Bamea Kosev Midaber. This Pasach has to be seen as a metaphor. For whom? For what? The Avraham. Avram, is viewed here, is described here as the Achos Lanu Kitana. Because at this stage, Avram is still immature, meaning he hasn't developed fully. He's not the great Avram. He hasn't been chosen to lead a new nation. Kishlichu Nimrod Litoch Kivshan Ha'esh. Then the Medrash goes on to talk about different miracles that happened in the past, and the miracle that took place at the time of Kivshan Ha'esh. Now, if you're following the Psukim, so we started with Achos Lanu Ktana V'Shadayim Ein La, and then it says, Ma Na'aseh L'Achosenu B'Yom She'Yedubar Ba. What's the Yom, the day that's being singled out here? B'Yom Shomer Nimrod L'Ashlicho L'Toch Kivshan Ha'esh, on the day that Nimrod commanded that Avram be thrown into the fiery furnace. So there's a question here in the pasuk, Mana Selach Husseinu, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol is vacillating, trying to decide what to do with Achoseinu, with Avram Avinu, on that day. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Malachi Ashores. This is a theme we find over and over again in Midrashi Chazal, that there is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the CEO, but he takes into consideration his committee, his executive committee that are made up of angels. And he says to the committee the following: Im chomahi, if this young girl will be a choma, which means she'll be staunch and unbending, unyielding, like a sturdy wall, nivnal le'atiras kesef, we're going to build out of her a beautiful structure, a beautiful palace. Imnos, and what's the nimshal? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, Imnose nafsho al kedushas Hashem, if Avram is willing to give up his life for the sanctification of my name, Nivnal le tiras kesef, we will build out of Avram this great palace. What do you think this symbolizes? Am Yisrael. V'imdeleti natsura le'luach eres. Imdalhu militain. Deles is darshan as the word dal. Dal means incapable, destitute. Imdalhu militain et nafshal kedushat shmi natsura le'luach eres. Meaning nothing much is going to come of him. Ma'atsura zushal aluach noach litatesh. Litashtesh, meaning it could be rubbed away. Kachunoch liyoved min olam, and he will be lost. V'yeni mashkiach lov, I will not intervene to save him from the fire or protect him from anything. Omar Avram, Avram responds. Go again now. Go look at pasuk tes. Ani choma, I am sturdy as a wall. Ani nosein. I'm sorry, Yud. Ani nosein nafshi al kedusha shmecha. Miyad nosa nafsha. So Avraham Avinu declares he's willing to do it, and he does it. Now, in the Yalkut Shimoni, which I found, he adds another few words here in explaining this parasha. Because the pasuk says, Ani choma v'shaddai kimigdolos. Omar lefan of Ribon Olam, Ani choma mamid divrei Torah kichoma v'shaddai kimigdolos elu chananya mishol nazaria. That they too are prepared to give up their lives al kiddush Hashem at the time of Nebuchadnezzar. We're already beginning to see that not only is Avram being chosen here at the Kivshan Ha'esh, but he's having some impact on generations to come. And again, Rabbos, I have to submit to you that I chose this medrash because I happen to love it. It's a beautiful description of the symbolism of Shir HaShirim, an entire set of psukim dedicated to the episode of Kivshan Ha'esh, but in truth I could have brought you tons of material in Chazal about the greatness and the centrality of Kivshan Ha'esh.
How did Chazal know? Because like the pasuk refers to like a feminine, a woman.
That never seems to bother Chazal, Chaim. You know, in general,
I know it doesn't seem
right. In general, Chazal used the feminine to refer to someone who we're keenly watching their development. You know, in a case of a young girl, her development is much more obvious. You know, it's more dramatic. So whenever you see the concept of a child that's used symbolically, especially throughout Shir HaShirim, then it's symbolic of some great individual who's at the brink of taking the jump into his career. Now, the famous Mishnah Avos says that Asara Nisyonus Nisnas Avram Avinu Al Vashalom V'Omad Bekulon. Avram was tested 10 times. And the Ruach Chaim, which is a pirush on Avos written by none other than the great Rosh Hashiva of Volozhin. Anybody know who that was? Reb Chaim Volozhiner. And that's why he called it Ruach Chaim. And he's bothered by one extra word in this Mishnah. Of course, you and I would never have noticed this word because we would never consider it extra. Because who do we call our first forefather? Avraham Avinu. Yeah, but his real name is not Avraham Avinu. It's Avram. So Reb Chaim Volozhin wants to know, Reb Yudah Anossi, who we know is consistently terse and abridged in his writing of the Mishnah, why did he have to add the word Avinu? And the truth of the matter is that Avinu indicates a genetic code. Says Reb Chaim Volozhin, but Mishnah Kosuv Asor Nisyonis Nisnas Avram Avinu. Why Avinu? Kishem she'av morish lebanav, just like a father bequeaths to his offspring. Midos, not just financial possessions, but also attributes, utchunos mesuyamos, and various modes of behavior. Kach horish Avram midos mesuyamos leklal Yisrael. Avram injected certain midos, attributes, into the we'll call it the spiritual DNA of the Jewish people. Be'asar nisyonos, through these 10 trials, mafkin Avram kochos nefesh atzumim. Avram Avinu demonstrates incredible powers, spiritual powers, shenefchu, which ultimately became part of toreshes ha'am, the heredity of the Jewish people. And Reb Chaim Volozhin goes on to pinpoint the first of the Asar Nisyonos, name of the Kivshan Ha'esh. What do you think Avram bequeathed to our DNA throughout Jewish history through the Nisayon of the Kivshan Ha'esh? What ability?
The ability to be Mosin Nefesh.
To be Mosin Nefesh Kiddushin, right? And that we saw already hinted in the Medrash Tanchuma, in the Pasuk in Shir Hashirim, the Shaddai Kimigdalos is referring to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You see that already the capacity for Kiddush Hashem is built into the Jewish structure, the Jewish system.
Does this also pass on to Yishmael?
Excellent question. I think that for that we'd have to discuss what's called Derech Hashem. What I mean by Derech Hashem, meaning you can take any midah and you can misuse it. If you don't have the if you're not on the right page, if you're not, I mean, that's, I don't know if you know the Rabbi Natanel Javaski, who was a member of our Kollel, spoke at the launch. Was anybody there, by any chance? You heard him?
I didn't hear him speak.
Oh, you didn't hear him speak. So his thesis was that Lot took from Avram the mid of Chesed, and he tried to imitate it, but he didn't have the broader picture. So it was a morality that was totally distorted. And you could really take any morality and distort it.
And Goldberg spoke about it at my shul.
We're in the Ayin.
At the Bayit.
Oh, at the Bayit?
He spoke at a shul service about this.
Yeah. About Lot?
No, about Yishmael.
About Yishmael.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Rav Goldberg speaks often about Yishmael. Yeah. And also,
you were there?
Rav Kushalevsky also speaks a lot about Yishmael. So take a look at Reb Chaim Volozhin, and Nisayon shel Kivshan Ha'esh Hishrish, it injected into our very roots. B'toch kol yachid v'yachid shel bnei Avram, es hamida ha'atzuma shel mesiris nefesh al kiddush Hashem. How much of an impact did Avram Avinu's kiddush Hashem have? According to one version, the Medrash Tehillim, nichnesu kol ha'umos eitzal Avram Avinu. Initially, when they found out that Avram Avinu was deviating from the path of idolatry, they saw this as a threat. Amru lo shel miata, who do you belong? In other words, what's your worldview, your Weltanschauung? Amru lehem, shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu shebashamay miyad natlu v'chshichu l'tov kivshan ha'esh. V'lo yorad imo lo ir, v'lo saraf, v'lo malach, el HaKadosh Baruch Hu bi'atzmo. Who went down into the fires to save Avram? What does it sound like to you?
Sounds like Mitzrayim.
Correct, like in Mitzrayim, because it's really exactly parallels Mitzrayim. The Malachim want to do God's bidding, the intermediaries, the powers that God operates with, they want to offer themselves to, you know, to volunteer themselves to save Avram, or to save Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch says no, because the issue here is my people. I am choosing Avram, not just as Avram, but also as the father of a nation. This is a bechira, and in a bechira relationship, you don't send the shliach, no matter how great the shliach is. Like the Gemara says at the beginning of the second parak of Kiddushin, mitzvah bo, yosem v'shlucho. Don't send the shliach when it's a marriage relationship, if you can avoid it. And the same thing in Yetzias Mitzrayim. But it's fascinating that Major Shetil quotes the pasuk in Lech Lecha, Ani Hashem asher otzeisicha mi'ur kazdin. Ur kazdin is not just the location. Or Kazdan refers to the fires of Kazdan, the furnace. Ani Hashem, meaning I myself, God declares, not through any intermediary, I'll personally go down and cool off the flames. I personally took you out of the flames of Kazdan. And therefore, every morning in davening, we say, Asher bachart, Asher bachart to be Avram, Kazdin, you have chosen Avram and taken him out of the flames of Kazdin. And I found in Agados HaTfilo, which is brought down by Rav Menachem Kasher in his Torah Shlemo, which we have here, Kishen Nitzal Avram Avinu Meir Kazdin, Paschu Malachi Asher Sviyamu, Baruch Atah Hashem Magen Avram. The parsha, the episode of Ur Kazdin, led to the bracha up in Shamayim of Magen Avram, you protector of Avram. And the Gaon I saw in his commentary on the Siddur, on this bracha, the first bracha Shmoneser that we recite three times a day, says that this Baruch Atah Hashem Magen Avram refers to the episode of Kivshan Ha'esh. Did you know that? I didn't know it until I found it. It's an unbelievable insight of the Gaon. It means that three times a day we begin Hashmoneh Esrei by thinking about Kivshan Ha'esh and thanking Hashem for saving him. And in the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, when he lists the Asar Nisyonos, Shenis Nasa ben Avram Avinu V'Omed Bekulam, he speaks in great detail about the Kivshan Ha'esh. And this ends part one of tonight's discussion. Because do you, after reading any of these midrashim, and again I could have brought you another 10, if not 100, do you have any doubt about the greatness and the significance of Avram Avinu's Nisayon and the success thereof of the Kivshan Ha'esh, the Kedushas Hashem, which was not only relevant to Avram as an individual, but it was relevant to Avram as the father of this Ummah, and not only that, it was relevant to create an Avram Avinu situation in which we, the Jewish people, throughout the generations, have the capacity to follow in Avram's footsteps. We've received his legacy, and we're capable of giving our lives al Kiddush Hashem because of the episode of Kivshan Ha'esh. Ad kara kofal. And now, we go to HaKofa Bet. And that means, let's begin to study this whole episode of Kivshan Ha'esh from a halachic perspective. And what the question that we're raising here is, halachically, was Avram Avinu obligated to give up his life for Kiddush Hashem, to refuse the command of Nimrod to bow down to an idol? Would it be perhaps, again just to play the devil's advocate here, that v'chai b'hem v'lo sh'yomus b'hem? So of course, what do you tell me? You're going to tell me that what Avera is at stake over here? Avodah Zarah. No, we saw the Rambam in the opening line here that sets the pace that for the sake of Avodah Zarah, a person has to give up his life.
Because of Chilul Hashem.
Okay, so it's Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem. But what's going to be the problem over here? Is Avram Avinu Jewish? Because as we said, the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem is incumbent upon Bnei Yisrael. I have grave doubts if it's incumbent on a non-Jew. And that's what we want to study now. Please keep in mind that at one particular moment in history, the entire nation was formed as a sanctified nation, in which they entered into Gerus, into conversion. Is that known to everybody here? There was an entire nation that underwent conversion. At what point in history? At Matan Torah. At Matan Torah, three things took place, as the Gemara says in Ksuvus, in the name of Rebbe. Rebbe says all the laws of Gerus, all the requirements of conversion, are derived from our forefathers at the time of Matan Torah. Ke avoseichem. Ma avoseichem. By the way, Rashi quotes this Gemara at the end of Parshas Mishpatim. Ma avoseichem. Lo nichnesu lebris. Ela b'mila. Utvila. Vartzos dam. It was a three-stage process. They needed mila. They needed tefillah. Tefillah means mikvah. And hartzos dam. Anybody know what hartzos dam is? That's a little more complicated. Yeah, but what do you have to do in order to get the blood? No, it's what procedure are we talking about? Yeah, ultimately the blood has to be sprinkled. But carbon. No, we did mila. We had mila, tefillah, and hartzos dam. Hartzos dam means karma. And if you take a look in Parshas Mishpatim, if you have a Chumash, I'll show it to you. There's an entire, in Perek Chaf Dalet, there's an entire description of the Karbonus of a Ger, when a Ger undergoes conversion, and which blood has to be sprinkled. And basically the Torah goes into great detail at the end of Parshas, at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, to describe what happened over here. Vayishlach es nari bnei Yisrael vayalu olos vayizbichu zvachim shlomim l'Hashem parim vayikach Moshe chatzi adam. He took half the dam, vayosem, he received it in agonos. Agonos are receptacles. Vechatzi adam zorak al mizbeach. Then he takes the half of the dam that's in the agonos. Vayikra b'oznei ha'om, vayomer kol asher diber Hashem nase v'nishma. What's that?
Kabbalah's
old mitzvahs. Vayikav Moshe Saddam, he has the dam in the agonos. Vayizrok ala'am. Every single Jew, single file, passed by Moshe Rabbeinu and got a little dam on him. Vayomer hinei dam ha'bris asher kos asher imochem. This is the bris of Gerus. And this teaches us for all posterity, to all eternity, how a non-Jew could enter in to the Jewish fold and become a ger.
How does that work today? With
well, so the Gemara asks, increases on the next daf. This is on daf tes. On daf yud, the Gemara asks the question, Ella me'ata ha'idna deleka karbon, now that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, lo nekabli gerim. So the Gemara answers, Lidoro Sechem, that basically means that when there's a possibility of bringing a carbon, then the carbon has to be brought. And without the carbon, the gerus is incomplete. If there's no possibility of a carbon, then the gerus is clinched through what? Through Mila, Tvila, and Kabbalah's old mitzvahs. Yeah, but now we have a problem. Because if gerus emerged as an institution, both halakhically and historically, at one particular point in the chronological flow of history, namely at Matan Torah, where does that put Avram?
Before
Gerus. Give me a minute just to dramatize the question, Neil. It's a very dramatic question, at least in my mind. And the only one I found who addressed this question is the Parshas Drachim, which you'll see towards the bottom of your page, which is a book that was authored some 3.5 centuries ago, by a Sfaradi by the name of Rosnas. He was from the Gerushei Sfarad. He was actually famous for his other work, which is a commentary on the Mishnah Melech, a super commentary on the Mishnah called the Mishnah Lemelech, on the Rambam, I mean to say. So the author of the Mishnah Lemelech is the same human being who authored the Parshas Drachim. And this book, Parshas Drachim, is almost totally dedicated, an entire sefer, to the question of what was the status of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov before Matan Torah. Were they Jews or were they non-Jews? We know of Gerus, and we know Gerus as an institution emerges with Matan Torah. So therefore, by definition, Avram Avinu is not a Jew. And therefore, if he's not a Jew, I don't think that we can say that he's obligated in the midst of Kiddush Hashem, because take a look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, which is the third source on page 2. Boy Minei Meirav Ami. The Bnei Achabura, the yeshiva guys, asked the question to Rav Ami. Ben Noach Mitzuval Kiddush Hashem, O Eina Mitzuval Kiddush Hashem. Omar Abaye, Toshma Sheva Mitzvos Nitztavu Bnei Noach V'im Isa. And if I accept your Havavina that a Ben Noach is included in the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, Tamnei Havyon. What does Tamnei mean? There are 8 mitzvahs. So I added a little footnote of my own here, that if you check the Rishonim over there in Sanhedrin Ayin Dalet, you will see that the final conclusion of this Gemara, La Halacha, is that a Benach is not commanded in the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. So let's make the following 2 premises, both of which I think are very, very solid. You know, sometimes you throw down a premise and it's tenuous, it's iffy. I have 2 premises, A and B, that I think are very, very solid premises. Number 1, there was no Geirus before Matan Torah. Avraham Avinu could not be a Geir. Number 2, a Ben Noach is not obligated in the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem.
Why are we assuming Abraham is a Ben Noach? In the Medrash Tehillim,
he was a Ben Noach, was he not?
I mean,
I'll tell you the truth, Neil. You and I are also Bnei Noach.
I understand, but
We also have another kedusha called Kedushas Yisrael. Why? Because our forefathers underwent Geirus. Yeah, go ahead.
But Abraham, I understand he doesn't have Kedushas Yisrael, but I don't think he's on Bnei Noach. There must be something in between.
Oh, excellent! You're stealing my shir. But the only thing is, I'll tell you the truth, Neil. If you were in the Rav shir, I'm not saying. If you were in the Rav shir, you said what you just said. He would probably throw you out of shir. I'll tell you why. Even though you're right in everything you said. And the Rav probably wouldn't deny it. I think. I don't know. But he would throw you out of shir anyway. Because if a Talmud got up in the Rav shir and said, well, there's something in between, that just doesn't cut the mustard.
But there's a bechira there. Hashem chooses him.
Yeah, no, just 1 minute. Yeah, but halachically, is there something in between? In other words, what you're raising is the following.
Before
you're
before
asking.
Maybe there was.
Wait a minute. Maybe there was. Maybe even after Matan Torah. But you're asking the following question, and you're asking it in total naivete. And it's good. I like it. But you're asking, is there something in between a Ben Noach and Israel?
You're either chayav in 7 mitzvahs or 613. If there's something between, then you have to be chayav in something else.
Correct. There is something called the Ger Toshav, by the way. But Ger Toshav is not going to help you for Kiddush Hashem. Ger Toshav is identical to any Ben Noach as far as Kiddush Hashem, and for that matter, pretty much for any mitzvah, except we have to treat him differently. He has rights, and we have to support him, etc. The truth is, there is something in between a Yisrael and a guy, and that's called an Evit or Shivcha. But to truth be told, I don't think that's relevant to this discussion, Kiyuzel. I'll tell you why. An Evid has Geirus. Every Evid undergoes Geirus. There's a Machlokas Rishonim, does he need a second Geirus at the time of Shichur, when he's freed from his master? But everybody agrees that he needs Geirus to become an Evid Knani who's Chayv and Mitzvahs like an Isha. Avram didn't have Geirus. He didn't have Tefillah. He didn't have Mila at this point. Mila is going to take place at the end of Lech Lecha. But we're at the end of Noach. There are a good couple of decades in Avram's life before he gets the mitzvah of Mila. And certainly he didn't have Karmot. But then you could say, well, there's no Karmot Bizman Azeh, so we still have Geirus. So maybe so. And the question is, what technically could give Avram that status, as you say, of Yotza Michlau Ben Noach, but Adayin Lon is Geir?
I don't know how to define halachically, but yeah. Clearly, like, he has a relationship with Hashem that's not the same as all the other Ben Noach.
Okay, good. But I need a Lomdisha definition. I have to find. You see, you're talking in terms of page one. You know, hashkafically. I'm already on page two. Now we've put on a halachic thinking cap. So unless you can show me in halacha that there is such a thing as a quasi-Jew, but not yet a Jew.
I'll get a PhD on this.
But as far as I'm concerned, for the purpose of our discussion, to say that someone is midway between being a Jew and a non-Jew, halachically, is like saying she's almost pregnant. You know what I'm saying? Right. The truth of it is, she's pregnant or she's not.
What if a person is in the process of Geirus?
But again, what kicks off that process? You know, what Maisa is a Megayer? You know, you could ask me, what happens in it, what's the status of a Ger between Mila and Tefillah? And by the way, since you're on that topic, I'll tell you the secret. A Ger who's in the process, and he's undergone Mila, but hasn't yet undergone Tefillah, is not a Ger. Very nice that he did Mila, and he's on the way. But it's halachically meaningless. You still can't count him for a minion. He's still only Chayv at 7 mitzvahs.
So
you're still not chayav if you kill him. I mean, it doesn't mean you're allowed to kill him. But basically, and not only that, he can't observe the Shabbos, because a guy is not allowed to observe Shabbos. If a guy observes Shabbos, we'll have to see what that means. He's chayav misa for that. But Rabosa, I think you're jumping ahead of us. And Neil, I want to ask you to take a step back. I'm going to reformulate my question, and I want you to listen to me carefully and find the key word in my sentence that should lead us to a solution to this whole problem that doesn't have to take us down the path of Geirus. Wait, one second, Chaim. I'm sorry. You gotta wait till I'm finished. Listen carefully to every word. My problem is that Avram Avinu is a Ben Noach, and a Ben Noach is not obligated in the midst of Kiddush Hashem. What word would you want to bold over here that might give us an opening to explain? Exactly. Is it possible that Avram Avinu voluntarily took upon himself the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem? One second, Michael. I just have to formulate the question. I'll be with you in just 60 seconds. Give me Mamish 60 seconds and then the floor is yours. We know that the Maskana Sagamara in Sanhedrin Ayin Dalet is that Ein Ben Noach Mitzuva Al Kiddush Hashem. Grant you. We know, on the other hand, that 1,001 Midrashim praise and put Avram Avinu on a pedestal as the paradigm of Kiddush Hashem, the father of Kiddush Hashem. But is it possible that the Kosev Ashlishi Shiachriya Beinehim is that Ein Ben Noach Mitzuva Al Kiddush Hashem? But nevertheless, you can go beyond the strict letter of the law. You can go beyond the obligation and accept upon yourself a mitzvah, even when you're not obligated to do so.
For Ben Noach.
Okay, 1 minute. Let's go slowly. I mean, again, if you're willing to go with me and not jump ahead of me, I'm just asking a very, very interesting question, I think. Mm-hmm. Is it possible that Avram Avinu voluntarily took upon himself the Mesiris Nefesh rather than, violate Avodah Zarah?
Can you just repeat for a second why he would not be able to be a ger? Because we know that since today that you can't do korbanos, you can still...
No, again, what we're saying is that there's the korban ager. I think I confused you by mentioning korban ager. It's an extremely complicated sugya, and it's irrelevant to us tonight. So I really apologize for that. I never know what information to give you and what information to conceal from you. I should have concealed from you that information, but just to say it in a nutshell, and then let's go on, because it's really not relevant to us tonight, and I'm willing to talk to you about Chaim after the shiur. Korban ager is radically different than milah and tefillah, whereas milah and tefillah are absolutely indispensable. Korban ager is something that depends. If you have it, then you have to. If you have the possibility or the opportunity, you have to have it. If you don't have it, there's no opportunity, you don't have to have it. But we need mila and tefila. We're talking in Avram Avinu's career where there's no mila and tefila. So trust me, Avram Avinu at this point at Kiv Shanesh has not undergone any sort of form of geirus.
Doesn't the Rambam hold, although he said goy shabbos, b'shabbos is chayv misa, the Rambam, I think, says that the goy is allowed to take on voluntarily mitzvahs. He can actually accept certain mitzvahs, I'm not mistaken, according to the Rambam. So
okay,
according to the Rambam, there should be no issue here.
But again, you and Joe, are being makdim as hama'uchar here. Leave out Ben Noach first. Let's raise a more fundamental issue. Is the Yisrael allowed to volunteer himself for Kiddush Hashem?
According to the Bali Tosfos, he can.
So let's read the Rambam, because I like the Rambam, you like the Bali Tosfos. I'm a Sfaradi, or you're an Ashkenazi. I'm not a Sfaradi, but maybe I am, I don't know. The Rambam says the following. Hilchas Yisodei HaTorah Perek Hei Halacha Dalet. This is one of the all-time famous Rambams. Kol Misha Nemar Bo, anyone concerning whom the ruling is Yavar V'Al Yehorek. He should violate the Avera, and he should not give up his life. Vinerag, v'lo avar. Sounds like something commendable, no? Hareze mischayev b'nafsho. Now, who could tell me under what category the Rambam would apply that phrase, that terminology, mischayev b'nafsho? The Rambam doesn't spell it out here, but elsewhere he does. Exactly. The Rambam in Perek Beis Mehilchos Rotzeach says that if you kill yourself, you chayv misa. But we can't kill you, because you're already dead. But you chayv misa, the Rambam says. Says the Rambam, if the halacha says, Yavar v'al yehareg, that's not a matter of choice. You want to take on optional mitzvahs that you're not obligated in? That's wonderful. Fine and dandy. In many cases, we'll encourage you to do so. but not to give up your life. The Torah says that to give up your life is ritzicha. You are a murderer. We think we own our lives. We don't own our lives. If a person is subject to save his life and he refuses to do so, he is a murderer. He has killed himself. Nischay v'nafsho, says the Rambam. Very harsh language. The Rambam doesn't see the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem as an optional kind of thing in any circumstance whatsoever. From the Rambam's perspective, the Torah's rule is v'chay b'hem, v'lo shiyomis b'hem. You have to do the maximum that you possibly can to keep yourself alive. Unless the halacha is yehorik v'al yavar. Unless you're obligated in the midst of Kiddush Hashem. But if there's no obligation for Kiddush Hashem, then there's no permissibility for Kiddush Hashem. There's no license. It's not a matter of choice, says the Rambam. Because Kiddush Hashem is coming to neutralize another force, another principle, which really overrides Kiddush Hashem. In other words, had it not been for the midst of Kiddush Hashem, then the overriding rule would be v'chai b'hem. You have to do whatever you can to live and not to die. Comes along the Torah and says, Kiddush Hashem, okay. For the sake of the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, you give up your life, but only when that mitzvah applies. When that mitzvah is obligatory. So at this point, I'm back to square one again. Which might force me to go your way, that Avraham Avinu had some sort of quasi-gerus. I would have rather said that Avraham Avinu voluntarily took upon himself Kiddush Hashem, but the Rambam's not going to allow me to do so.
Why can't you say that Rambam's saying this on other mitzvahs?
Well, the Rambam here, the Rambam is saying that.
But then it wouldn't be Yehari.
Yeah, no, but I'm assuming. I'm assuming now. Let me set down the two premises. Okay. Premise number one is Avraham Avinu is a Ben Noach. Okay. Accept it. We're not yet ready for Neil's quasi-gerus. Right. Premise number two is a Ben Noach is not obligated to the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. Therefore, his ruling is Yavar v'al yehorek. Says the Rambam, Kol misha nemer bo Yavar v'al yehorek. If he decides to give up his life, he's a mischayev b'nafsho. I don't see that Avodah Zarah makes any difference over here. Avodah Zarah for Ben Noach is exactly what Nevela is for Ben Yisrael. It's Yavar v'al yehorek. But thank God there's still light at the end of the tunnel, because and I think, Michael, you were hinting at this when you said the Chachmei Ashkenaz, the Kesef Mishnah writes, Sover Abenu, our master holds, meaning the Rambam, Sheksha Omer B'gemar Yavar v'al yehorek Pirush Tzorech Lavar Kidei Shelo yehorek. When the Rambam sees Yavar v'al yehorek, it's a command. It's an imperative. I will shlame him. Again, I don't know exactly which historical episode he's referring to, but there are many stories in Shas about individuals who would fit this description here in this context of shlemim, v'chein rabim, sovrim, she'im na' nehorek, excuse me, in narak, v'lo avar, stoka, techoshev lo. What does that mean? Tztaka techoshev lo? Tztaka should be rightfully, I think, in this context, translated not as charity, but as righteousness. It is a righteous act to voluntarily give up your life al Kiddush Hashem. And there were many, many Jews who did so throughout history. And they were shleimim and rabim. V'nira, because the Mishnah adds a comment, shemefarshim, they interpret Yavro v'al yehorek, harishus b'yadu lavar kidei shelo yehorek. They have the green light, they have license to violate the Avera. They will not be punished for doing so. But if they opt voluntarily to give up their lives, meaning they shoot for a higher level, they are considered Shleimim. V'kosa b'nimuki Yosef, da'afil l'fisvaras rabbeinu, even according to the Rambam, imu adam gadol, v'chasid, yirei shamayim, v'roe, shahadar parutz b'kach, Rashoy lekadosh Hashem v'lis limsar atzmo afil al mitzvah kala kidei sheyiru ha'am v'yilamdu v'yilmedu lira es Hashem ulahavo b'chol liba. The Mukiyosi says something that's pretty revolutionary. I'd be hard pressed to accept his pshat because I don't see any hint at this in the Rambam. The Rambam should have certainly added that. Keep in mind, the Rambam writes in his own introduction to the Mishnah Torah that it's a self-contained work. You don't need any other source. You don't have to look up the Ruki Yosef to understand me, says the Rambam. Just read my words. But the Ruki Yosef has a whole paragraph to the Rambam. When does the Rambam hold that you are accused of being a mischayv nafsh because you took upon yourself voluntarily to give your life? That's only the rank and file citizen. But if you are a great individual, very pious and very God-fearing, and you realize you're a spectacle to a terrible disaster, a catastrophe amongst the generation that's completely parous, then you're allowed to give up your life, even for a mitzvah kala, in order to educate the people regarding Yiras Hashem and Avas Hashem. That description of the Nevuki Yosef would certainly fit in the case of Avram Avinu. And if you go back to the Kesef Mishnah, his Shleimim and Rabim, who hold that you can give up your life voluntarily, then we certainly have an opening here to explain Avram Avinu. However, since I am a Rambam fan, or to say it really what I really mean to say, since we have to understand the parsha of Kivshan Eish according to the Rambam, because how would the Rambam tolerate, how would he explain enough material to fill up a book that praises Avram Avinu as the paradigm of Kiddush Hashem, as the father of Kiddush Hashem, if indeed he was not halakhically justified, because there's no such thing as voluntary Kiddush Hashem. But I want to tell you something even further. Take a look at the Parshas Drachim, three sources before the end of your page. He quotes a Mari Mintz. Afilu l'das hacholkim al Rambam. Even according to those who reject the Rambam. V'sovrim, and they hold, there is a green light to voluntarily offer your life al Kiddush Hashem, she'ena mitzuv al Kiddush Hashem, mi she'ena mitzuv makesh, rishus b'yad olim sar atzma al Kiddush Hashem. Hani mili ben Yisrael. I'm going to stop here for a minute, because I want you to tell me what the Parshas Drachim is about to say. Again, we quoted a machlokus between the Rambam and the Shleimim and the Rabbim and the Kesef Mishnah about whether there's voluntary Kiddush Hashem. Comes along the Parshas Drachim and he says that machlokus applies to a Ben Yisrael. But a Ben Noach is for sure. Everybody would agree, Kuli Amalo, please, that the Rambam is correct. There's no such thing as optional Kiddush Hashem. Why? But I want you to tell it to me before you look inside. Who can say it to me like a London? Yechaim, can you do it?
Sorry, what's the question?
Question is, why would everybody agree that there's no voluntary Kiddush Hashem by Ben Noach? That if there is a debate about whether voluntary, whether you can opt, you have a green light to opt for Kiddush Hashem when you're not obligated to do so, that machlokus only applies to Yisrael. But in the case of a guy, everyone admits there's no such thing as optimal Kiddush Hashem. What's the lumpus?
Pasuk says, V'nikdashti b'tov ben Yisrael.
Yeah, but so what? So that means the obligation is incumbent on Bnei Yisrael. But a guy wants to opt for the mitzvah and voluntarily fulfill it. Why can't he do so? But maybe you're saying the answer, but you're not saying it. In other words, maybe you're saying it, but you're not understanding what you're saying. Yeah, can you say it like a lambda?
There was no Bnei Yisrael then.
No. Exactly, he doesn't have the mitzvah. If you have the mitzvah, then you can go beyond the mitzvah. You can expand the mitzvah. In other words, if the mitzvah obligates you in case X, you can go beyond that and say, even in case Y, I'm going to accept upon myself the mitzvah, even when I'm not obligated. But if you don't have the mitzvah at all, then what is going to be matir? What's the heter? To kill yourself, or have yourself be killed, which is tantamount to killing yourself, if you don't even have the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. The mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem was never given to a Ben Noach. Marshal Amad Dover Doma. Would it make sense for a Ben Noach to optionally put on tefillin? Or tzitzis? Why not? So in the case of an Isha, I heard this from my Rebbe a million times, a woman has the mitzvah of tzitzis. She has the mitzvah of tefillin. The Torah lifted her, relieved her, alleviated her of responsibility because it's time bound. She wants to take it upon herself, she can do so. But for example, would it make sense for me to take upon the mitzvahs of Kuna if I'm not a Kohen? Can I voluntarily do so? No, why not? That we understand. What's the answer? I'm not a Kohen, I don't have the mitzvah. If I don't have the mitzvah, then you can't volunteer for the mitzvah. You know, to volunteer for the mitzvah means I'll get a kiyuma mitzvah, even though I'm not obligated. But that's because I'm included in the mitzvah. If I'm not included in the mitzvah, how could I have a kiyuma mitzvah? I think that's what the Parshas Jochum is saying. I hope he's saying that, because that's what he should be saying. Take a look inside. He says, Hani mili ben Yisrael she yesh lo mitzvahs kiddush Hashem, mashen ken goy. Ben Noach, she'ein lo mitzvahs kiddush Hashem klal, ein rashoy limsaris atzmo. Ulefi zeh, says the Parshas Jochim, mi hiter lavram, she'yashlich atzmo l'kivshana ish. Me'achar she'ben Noach, ein mitzuval kiddush Hashem, v'yim nerag v'lo ovar, harezem ischayev benafsha. See, if Berzon says it, you know, all right. But if the Parshas Jochim says it, the Mishlomel says it 3.5 centuries ago,
still
in Turkey, you know, then it's pretty powerful. But hold on to your chairs for a moment, because I found a fascinating medrash. This medrash is on a pasuk in Yeshayahu Novi. It's smack in the middle of your page. You have it? It would be from the top, I think, about the sixth source down. You see what it says, Yeshayahu Hanavi? It says in Perikov Tes of Yeshayahu, Lachain, Ko Amar Hashem El Beis Yaakov Asher Podas Avram, the house of Jacob that redeemed Abraham. In other words, Beis Yaakov is described here as he who redeemed Abraham. What do you mean, Beis Yaakov redeemed Abraham? Asher Podes Avram. Who is Podes Avram? Beis Yaakov. So the Medrash on this pasuk quotes from Shmuel Ber Yitzchak. Avram lo nitzal mikivshan ha'esh ela bischuso shel Yaakov. Are you ready for this? Mind-boggling. Moshe. So why was Avram saved from the Kibshon Eish according to this Midrash?
Bezchus Yaakov.
Now watch this mashal, a metaphor. Li echad, this is going to send some shudders up your spine. Li echad shayelo din lifnei ashilton. A criminal was accused of a crime and brought in front of the, how should we say, the powers to be, the shilton. The Yatza Dino Milifnei Shilton, after the judgment, after the case was tried, his din, his verdict was handed down, Li Saref, to be burned. But you know what? In those days they believed in astrology. Tsafa Oso Shilton Bastrologia Shalom. Before they put this guy to the death sentence and burnt him to a crisp, they took a look into this what do they call that ball, the crystal ball, and they saw, lo and behold, shu'asid laholid bas, that he is going to give birth to a girl, v'hi niseis lamelech, and she will be the future queen. Omar. So the Shulton declares, Kidaihu li natzel bischus bito. We're going to spare him of his verdict. What's that called? A stay? No, maybe there's another word.
Pardon?
Stay of punishment? Stay of execution? Why? In order to guarantee that this girl will live, will eventually be born, shu'asid laholit, v'inis eislamelach. You hear the story? Now let's get to the Nimshal. Kach Avram Yotza Dino Milifnei Nimrod Lisarev. What does that mean? Was he really meant to die? I wouldn't think so. But yet, you know,
according to this, it wasn't voluntary. He didn't volunteer to do it. Nimrod, it was a din? Like,
no, I didn't. Again, you know what, Neil? I'm on a totally different page than you are. So you're going to have to hold your question because it's going to derail me totally. I want to know if Avram Avinu is a Ben Noach, and a Ben Noach is not Mitzuv al Kiddush Hashem, therefore he cannot voluntarily give his life for Kiddush Hashem, and I refer you again to the Parashas Drachu, which I would ask you to underline. Mi hitel Avram sheyashlich atzmo lekiv shemesh me'acher shebenoch eino mitzuv al kiddush Hashem v'yimnerag v'lo avar hareza mischayev benafsho. And in the light of that statement of the Parshas Drachim, I want to understand the statement of Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, who's an Amora from the time of the Gemara, a member of that elitist group called Chazal. You've heard of them. Who says that Avram Avinu was Yotza Dino Lisarev? Do you hear those words, my friends? Yotza Dino Lisarev. But what happened? V'tzofa HaKadosh Baruch Hu SheYaakov Osid Lamod Mimenu. Who's going to come out of this gentleman called Avram? Yaakov. So what does God declare? Omar, God declares, Kedai hu Avram lihinotza bishuso shel Yaakov hado dichsiv lachen ko amar Hashem ol beis Yaakov asher poda Avram Yaakov poda es Avram. Did Avram have legal rights to be saved from the Kivshan Eish? According to Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, absolutely not. Yotzadino lisarif. However, God spared him because of Yaakov. Why Yaakov and not Yitzchak? Why Yaakov and not Yehuda, Binyamin, Yosef? Because Yaakov Avinu represents Klal Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu, the Gemara says, Dmus Yaakov Avinu, Kukal Kisei HaKotachas Kisei HaKovet. He represents the entire future of Klal Yisrael. The Shiftei Kor come from Yaakov. Basically, Avram is spared in order to generate, in order to produce Klal Yisrael. Represented this case in the Medrash by Yaakov Avinu. Beis Yaakov Asher Podes Avram. How does this square with everything that we saw tonight? I don't know. But I'm just presenting to you the following thesis. Yotza Dino Lisarev. Avram Avinu, according to this thesis, had no right to give up his life al Kiddush Hashem.
So did he pass
the Nisayon? Did he what?
Pass the test.
All that stuff about passing the tests are all, forget it, that's not in line with Reb Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. You have to understand, Josh, that Elu Velu, that there are two different approaches.
Not everybody holds it.
I don't say everyone holds it. Two different approaches. Elu Velu, Divel Kim Chaim. But I do want you to understand that there is one valid approach that I find in Chazal that is supported by the logic of Halacha, the way it's formulated in the words of the Mishnah Lamelech, that Harezem is Chayev Benafsho, that there's no such thing as a Ben Noach volunteering Al Kiddush Hashem. He doesn't have that option, even according to the Bali Atosvis, the Rabim Shlemim, who claim that you and I have the right to volunteer Al Kiddush Hashem, but a guy doesn't have that right because he doesn't have the mitzvah at all. He's Beis Yaakov Asher Podes Avram. However, I'm not going to let you go now. You have to stay for another few minutes. Because how do we make sense out of all this? And I think the answer is, Neil, as you said before, but we have to sharpen it and polish it and cut it with a sharp knife. There's something in between a Ben Noach and a Yisrael. And what is that? So first, let's mention the Ramban at the end of Parshas Emor. This is the fourth source on your page. We're referring here to the case of a Benish Mitzri, meaning there was a mixed marriage, and the child of the mixed marriage went out and did what he did. But Chazal say that he was a ger. So there's a whole plugta here about what that means. His mother was Jewish. Why did he need gerus, and why is he called a ger? So the Ramban quotes the Tzarfatim, meaning the Ashkenazic Rishonim. Hatzarfatim omrim ki tam hagerus mivnei shahoya kodim matan Torah. In other words, the fact that his mother was Jewish, that doesn't make him Jewish, Because the laws that we determine your status by the mother determines that, and those laws were only engendered after Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, there was a whole different set of rules. And who will determine your nation? Not your mother, but your father. So that's how the Chachmei Tzarfas understood the Geirus of the Benish Mitzri and the Isha Yisraelis. The Ramban himself rejects it. He says indeed that there was Geirus before Matan Torah. The Ein Dati Kach, and here I bolded it, Ki Mei Eis Shabbat Avram Bibris, when Avram entered into the Bris, this is the end of Parshas Lech Lecha, the whole story of the Bris, Hayu Yisrael. What was generated, what emerged, was Yisrael. Ubagoyim lo yischashvu. They no longer are governed by the rules that apply to a guy. And he brings an interesting proof from a Gemara Kiddushin that says that Esav, the Dilma Yisrael Mumar Shaini, that Esav had the status of Yisrael Mumar, meaning he was a bad guy, but he was Jewish. So according to the Ramban, it's an unbelievable position of the Ramban. There was Geirus before Matan Torah. But what does that mean, there was Geirus before Matan Torah? How could there be Geirus before Matan Torah? Well, maybe Mila created Geirus. And maybe that's what the Ramban is hinting at, is intimating when he says, Ve'esha bo Avram b'bris, at that point, Avram Avinu became Yisrael, through Bris.
This is before Bris.
Oh, but this is before Bris. But I have a problem over here, because Avram Avinu actually observed the entire Torah. Take a look at the Medrash, but there are many, many Chazalim, especially on this week's Parsha, but if you take a look at the Medrash Yilam Deinu, which is the second source before the end of the page, Rabbi Shimon says that not only did Avram Avinu observe the entire Torah, Afilu Tavshil, Erev Tavshil, and even rabbinic laws, Shamar Avram Avinu. Now, what does this mean that Avram is fulfilling the Torah if he's a Ben Noach? I mean, is it meaningless? Is he just doing actions, external, you know, what we call a Maisa Kof? Or is it a Kiyum HaMitzvah? I would like to think that there's a Kiyum HaMitzvah here. But how can you say there's a Kiyum HaMitzvah if he's a Ben Noach? Ben Noach doesn't have Tarek Mitzvahs. He certainly doesn't have Erev Tavshilin. He doesn't have Shabbos. By the way, let's look at the end of Reb Shimon. He says, Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God responds in turn, and he says, Ata medadik b'mitzvahs, you're careful, meticulous about the mitzvahs, v'ata yoshev ben ovdek avodah zorah. But how could it be that I let you stay in this environment of ovdei avodah zorah? Tzei mi b'neichem, shenemar lech lecha me'artzecha. Why did I bold this, my friends? What do you see from this statement, this addendum? Say it again? No, Tzei Mim B'necha means get out of the environment of the Goyim. But what's significant here, Rabosai? Is this before the Bris or after the Bris?
Before.
How do you know it's before the Bris? Shenera Lech Lecha. Somebody's going to tell me that after the Bris, Avram became Jewish, and then he was Makayim Kol HaTorah Kula, even Erev Tavshilin, and at that point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're a great guy, we're going to choose you. No. According to this Medrash, in the name of Rabbi Shimon, that's not what happens here. Even before the Bris, Avram is fulfilling the mitzvahs of Hashem, even Erev Tavshil and every last mitzvah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Lech Lecha Me'artzach. And once again, I submit the following question. Were these mitzvahs meaningful? It seems like they were. And yet, where's the Geirus? Even if I quote the Ramban, that there was Geirus before Matan Torah through Bris, but this is before the Bris. So what's going on? So here, Rabosai, I want to say a Chiddush, and I'm hoping it's a Chiddush that the Rav wouldn't throw me out of Shia for. It's based on Nesivus. The Nesivus, which is on the bottom of your page, lived about 2 centuries ago. He was called the Lisa Gaon. He came from a city called Lisa. And he was a genius of geniuses. They say about him that if not for the fact that the Ketzos was so humble, and therefore he was zoched to be such a genius, then nobody would have ever heard of the Ketzos. All we would know is the Nesivus. The Nesivas and the Ketzos were contemporaries that were at each other's throats. I mean, they constantly, it's like a Baivarov, they're always arguing. Says the Nesivas, according to the Mandi Omer, and for this we'd have to learn Masechet Yevamos and Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezer, Akum Habo Bas Yisrael Havalad Tzorech Lizgayer, there's one Mandi Omer, we're talking after Matan Torah, that if a guy has relations with a Jewish woman, the child needs Geirus. So the question is obvious. We know that religion is determined by whom? By the mother. So even if his father is a guy, why does he need Geirus? According to that man, the Omar. So the Nesivus explains the following. He says, even though he needs Geirus, please understand, he says, the Achrei HaGeirus Lo yachul legabav hadin shel ger shen is gayer kekotin shenolad tomei. If you know, a guy who's misgayer is not related after his gerus to any of his blood relatives. His biological relatives are no longer his. He's kekotin shenolad tomei. V'nira kavanoso. It seems to me that what the Nesivus is saying is that if a person's mother is Jewish and his father is not, the geirus that he needs is not a complete geirus. He already is a partial Jew. The geirus is going to clinch it. But he's already Jewish. How do I know he's already Jewish? Because he's related to all his relatives. If he was not Jewish, then after geirus he would not be related to all his relatives. So all the dini arayos that applied to him before this geirus apply afterwards. So he is a Jew, and yet he's undergoing Geirus. What does that mean? It must mean that there's a partial Geirus. That there's a person, in this case, who's the son of a non-Jewish father, a Jewish mother, who has the status of Israel, but yet needs Geirus to complete that status. This is your halfway mark. Here's a person who's Jewish but not Jewish. He's Jewish and therefore he doesn't need Geirus in that level, because he's related to all his relatives. He doesn't fall under the category of Kikut and Shinola, Tommy, but he's not Jewish in the sense that he needs Geirus. So what is he? What status does he have? So I would like to suggest that the Nesivus, when he compares this case of a Jew who's born to a non-Jewish father to Bnei Yisrael at the time of Matan Torah, what would you say? A man after Matan Torah, is he allowed to have relations with his sister or with his mother? Why not? Gershon is Gaya Kukot and Shinolad Dami. After Geirus, so we learn all the dinam of Geirus from Matan Torah, he is Kukot and Shinolad Dami, which means he's like any Geir who's not related to his biological relatives. Says the Nesivus, that's not so. He still remains in the status of a korov, of an heir of a relationship to all his arayos before him. Hey, wait a minute. That means that he was Jewish already, even before Geirus. So that's the raya that the Nesivus adduces to the fact that you could be a Jew and still need Geirus. You're a Jew in the sense that you're related to all your relatives. And that heir of a relationship will continue to persist even after Geirus. There's no din of Gersh and his guy Kukot and Shinolotom, but nevertheless you need Geirus. So in Hilchus Yuchsin, you don't need Geirus. So what do you need Geirus for? Why did Klal Yisrael need Geirus if they already were Jews before Matan Torah? And the answer is, if you take a look at sort of like the fifth paragraph here, it's not a paragraph, it's just four words, I typed in two very fundamental terms. Mishpachas Yisrael and Kedushas Yisrael. Geirus, in the classical case of a guy, a full-fledged guy, has two parts to it. It's Mishpachas Yisrael and it's Kedushas Yisrael. What's the difference? Mishpachas Yisrael means you're a Jew by virtue of Geirus, in the case of a guy, and you're related now through your yuchsin, you'll get married to a Jew, and your children are Jewish, etc., etc., you're related to them. That's called Mishpachas Yisrael. But that doesn't obligate you in Taryag Mitzvahs. You're only obligated in seven mitzvahs until there's a second dimension to Geirus. And that is Geirus insofar as it generates Kiddushas Yisrael. What does Kiddushas Yisrael mean? The Chiyuv Mitzvahs. The Nesivus has opened up a whole new vista. There's something, as you said, Neil, between a Jew and a guy. There's a Jew who's a Jew as far as Mishpachas Yisrael, but he's still a guy as far as Kedushas Yisrael. And I have three cases. Case number one is Klal Yisrael. Before Matan Torah, they have Mishpachas Yisrael. After they go through Geirus and the three parts of Geirus, they don't have the halach of Kikon Shenol and Dominic can have relations with their biological relatives. No. They were Yisrael already before. Number two, the case of an Akum Shabal Bas Yisrael coin for Nesivas. And number three, the case of Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was chosen and granted Mishpachas Yisrael. Mishpachas Yisrael is kicked off, if I could use a phrase from football, with Avram Avinu. Exactly at what point in time, I don't know. I know it's before the Bris, because the Ramban identifies that Bris as the Megayer. So we're talking before the Megayer of Bris. I know it's before Lech Lecha, because he's already behaving as a full-fledged Jew even before that. I don't know at what point. I'm tempted to think, it's a scary point, that at the very moment that Avraham Avinu is willing, is ready to give up his life, Al Kiddush Hashem, then at that moment, mamash at that second, he is granted the status of Yisrael, and he has the status of Mishpachas Yisrael. Ani Hashem Asher Otzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Im Chomahi Nivna Oleh Tiras Kesef. When Avram says, Ani choma, and I am willing and ready to give up my life, is Nivna Oleh Tiras Kesef, he becomes a Jew. The moment of Geirus, first stage in Geirus, meaning Geirus of Mishpachas Yisrael, is the moment of Kivshan Eish. And here I want to raise the following question. If we accept the Shita, that a Jew is permitted to volunteer his life, Al Kiddush Hashem, then could it be that Avraham Avinu, from that moment that he was chosen and granted the status of a Jew, at least as far as Mishpachas Yisrael, already has the possibility, albeit on a voluntary basis, to fulfill the mitzvahs of the Torah, including the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem? If this be the case, then perhaps we could justify all the statements in Chazal about the greatness of Avraham Avinu, the fact that he's the father of Kiddush Hashem. His Kiddush Hashem is meaningful only if you grant two premises. Premise number one, that from the moment of his decision, when he survived, when he passed the test, he was granted Kiddush, not Kiddush Yisrael in the sense of tying mitzvahs with all his obligations, but at least Mishpachas Yisrael. And number two, if you'll grant me that Mishpachas Yisrael is enough to accept upon yourself all the mitzvahs of the Jew on a voluntary basis, then I can make an argument that perhaps Avraham Avinu was allowed to give up his life on Kiddush Hashem. Okay then? So we'll stop here.